Well, a couple were on their way home from church, and the wife said, "Did you notice how that Darby girl is tinting her hair now?" And the husband said, "I didn't notice, didn't see her at all." "So, well, didn't you notice how that, you know, that Davis woman, she's a mother of two, and the way she dresses, she doesn't dress like a mother should dress." And he says, "I didn't see her either." And so the wife says, "Well, what's the point of you ever going to church then?" And we do have different reasons for coming to church. Some people come for the food. Some people come for the music. Some people come for the connection, the handshakes, the hugs. Some people come for the lesson. I know that's not at the top of everybody's list, but. And so we recognize that we have different things that we're focused on. And just as in any part of life, depends on what we focus on is what we're energizing, because our attention focuses energy. One of the phrases we use is that energy flows where thoughts go. So where are our thoughts going? They're all over the place, aren't they? And so the invitation is to recognize that we have the work of knowing that our faith is working all the time. Some people say, "Oh, I wish I had more faith." That's like saying, "I wish I had more muscles." You've got all the muscles you're ever going to have. It's how you work those muscles. It's the same thing with faith. You have all the faith you're going to have. We're using it all the time. If you're worrying, you're using your faith to be invested in the energy of what you don't want. And so we're using our faith, the focus of our attention, all the time. Charles Fillmore put it this way: faith is the perceiving power of the mind linked with the power to shape substance. And what that means is what we're perceiving draws the energy of spirit into expression with what we're focusing on and what we imagine. And so we're doing this all the time. So the key is to recognize that we can be in charge of how we do that, be conscious of how we do that. So that brings us to our scripture today. This is one of those places where Jesus says to someone, "Your faith has done what you've asked to do." But the story starts this way. It starts a couple verses early in Matthew 15, in verse 21. It says, "And Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon," up in the northern part. "And behold, a Canaanite woman came out of the region and began to cry out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed.'" That's the way that they understood when someone was sick, they had a demon. "But he," meaning Jesus, "did not answer her a word. And his disciples came to him and kept asking him, 'Send her away.'" She keeps shouting out after us, "Send her away," you know. And again, remember, they were Jews. She was a Canaanite. She was considered a lower class, a different religion, you know, and so they didn't want anything to do with her. "But he," Jesus, "answered and said, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" So what he's saying is, "I'm not going to have anything to do with her. I was sent to Israel." "But she came and began to bow down before him and said, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.'" So hear what he's saying. He's calling her a dog and her daughter a dog. But she doesn't let his opinion stop her. She says, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." She says, "I'm going to get what I want." Basically, that's what she says. "And Jesus answered and said to her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Be it done to you as you desire.' And from that moment on, her daughter was restored to health." So this story, and again, the way that it projects Jesus may not, you know, fit our cultural idea of what we think of Jesus and how he was. But again, recognizing that there are many times in his ministry where all of a sudden his consciousness of what he's about is expanding. There's a point when he's coming into one city where a centurion comes to him and says, "My servant needs to be healed." And Jesus said, "I'll go with you." See, in that case, with the Romans, which the Jews didn't like either, at this point he's saying, "I'm going to go with you." And the centurion says, "No, just speak the word and my servant will be healed." And Jesus turns to his followers and says, "I haven't seen such faith in all of you." and then turns back to the centurion, as you have believed, let it be done. And so each time I see this consciousness expanding to something greater. And so we see that work till finally Jesus gets to that point where he says to God, you know, not my will, but thine be done. I'm open to whatever. I'm open to that largest gift of how Spirit can work in my life. And that's the key for us to realize that even if we're positive in the way that we live our lives, sometimes we're still limited in the way that we're positive. And so it's recognizing that we're called to see that our faith is capable of expanding us in great and amazing ways in every moment. So my lesson title today is The Power of Focused Faith. And as part of our Lenten series, we've been looking at this idea of being unified with that living presence of God. We started with looking at what is it that we need to undo in our lives? What do we need to release? Forgiveness and letting go of things. And again, Lent is traditionally a time where we take something in our life and say, I'm going to, you know, give up something for Lent. But we're looking more at the inner things than the outer things, giving us more leverage for our spiritual growth. Then we looked at nestling into the presence of God, just trusting in that loving presence of God, and allowing ourselves just to be in that presence. Then last week we looked at our spiritual identity. We are children of God, sons and daughters of the Most High. And so now we're going to focus what we're doing in a greater way. There's an interesting article in the paper this week about what they call flipped classrooms. Because usually in school, you know, you come to school and you get the information, the lecture about, you know, math or English, whatever it is you're studying, science. And then you go home and do your homework. And what they're doing now is they're recording the lectures, having the kids look at the lectures at home and coming to school to do their homework so that the teacher can coach them on their homework. Because the lectures, you know, the information is basically the same. You know, what are the principal exports of Peru? How many of you remember that? Social studies. That information is basically the same. And so the teacher doesn't need to do that each time. Do it once and then work with the kids. So here's this whole different way of getting the same thing done, but in a way that takes it into a different experience. And that's what we're called to do, to say, how can I look at my life and change the way that I see it so I can make more room for that activity of God to be blessing me, to be working in my life? Now, it's interesting when we think of different ways that God is addressed. In our early documents of this country, God was addressed as Providence. And you'll hear that word many times, because many of our founding fathers were not Christian in the sense that we think of that culturally now. They were deists. They believed in God, but they believed in something more than just a narrow way of looking at it. They saw God at work in all kinds of things and were exploring and looking. So many times they use this word providence, which implies a sense of something good, right? Providence means something that's going to be good, and so something that's beneficial, something that's here to bless us. Even that word benign, which we usually associate with medical terms, means something that's here to work in our lives in a greater way, something that's here to work. And so one of the things that I've been doing now, I've been signing most of the correspondence I do now with the words bountiful blessings. Because I'm thinking in terms of what's the bounty of God that we want to experience and to spread around and expand and work in our lives. And so this is the way I'm trying to focus my faith in a larger way. And so if we recognize that we're in charge, then we have to look at what's the work that we have to do. So if we think of the word focus, I've got five things. The F starts for find what you are dwelling on right now. One of Evelyn Clever's, Dale, brought her to Sunday, and I was talking with Dale this week, and we were talking about his experience growing up with his mom and going to church. And he says that one of what his mom used to say, that the most unholy hour of the week was the hour of trying to get four boys ready to go to church. There was a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so we recognize that many times we're preparing for something, but our way of preparing creates all this tension and stress rather than finding, is there a way that we can do it in a different way? And many times what we focus on is what we don't want. We focus on the difficulties, we focus on the challenges, we focus on the evils of the world, rather than focusing on what we want to create in our lives. And one of the things that's been very helpful to me is to look at a pattern that's called nonviolent communication, although they've actually changed it to call it compassionate communication because they didn't want that word violent in there. Well, and the first step of that is observation. What's going on? And to state that out loud, because many times we're just complaining about what we don't want and not really looking at what are we actually seeing, what's actually present. And then the next step is to express our feelings, how we feel about that. And again, the challenge here is that most of us were raised in this culture where we were told, you shouldn't feel that way. Happy or sad or whatever, you shouldn't feel that way. We've been told that over and over again. And so what happens is we've shut off our feelings. And what usually happens with that is that leads to depression, which is much too rampant in our culture because we've been cut off from feeling those feelings, because what those feelings point to is what it is that we're seeing. Because if we see something great, our feelings are great. If we see something we don't like, then our feelings, you know, are shutting down. And so it's recognizing to express what our feelings are, and then to state what our desires. What do you want? Because many times somebody just complains, well, that food was awful. Well, what do you want? And then it's focused finally in making a request. What do you want? And state it in terms of something that can be accomplished. Well, I want you to shape up. Well, what does that mean? I'm already in shape, whatever shape I'm in. So what do you mean? You want, what behavior do you want to be different? And again, recognizing that when you make a request, the answer may be no. You may ask somebody to do something and they may say no, and you know what? That's okay. Because they have observations, feelings, desires, and requests as well. And so when someone makes a request of you, you can say no. I'd like you to take out the trash. No. And what this system says, that if you get a no from your request, it means that their desires and requests aren't being answered. I'll give you a cookie if you take the trash out. Okay, well, maybe you'll get the trash taken out. You know? So it's recognizing that in this whole system, what we want to do is get to this as clear as we can, but to recognize that if we're not getting our requests met, it's because other people aren't getting theirs met as well. And so our job then is to ask them, so what's your observation? What are you seeing? What are your feelings? What do you want? What's your request? And then we hear what their request is. Many times, as we go through this process a couple times, the request will finally line up and be the same thing, because you've given each other more information than you had before. So the key here in terms of faith is, what are we dwelling on? Are we dwelling on the things that aren't working? And what is it that we really want? What is it that we really want from a spiritual point of view in our lives? You know, we may have had a diagnosis of illness, and we may be focusing on how awful it is, what a short time I've got to live, how I'm going to be debilitated, how it's going to be so costly, and we can go on and on and on about all the things that are wrong. Well, what do you want? Well, I want someone to help me. Well, if you don't get to that point of asking for a request, you're not going to get the help, because all they're going to hear is you complaining about what you don't like about the situation. And so when we get to request, then we can start to change what it is that we're looking at, and we can begin to feel what's going on in our lives in a different way. And again, I remember when our kids were little and the Sears Christmas catalog would come out and there'd be the toy section, and the kids would sit down with the cat and they go, I want that, 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 you know, I want that, you know, they wanted everything. And of course, we recognize you're not going to honor all those requests, but you get a picture of what they want, and then you choose something. And so it's the same thing with us. Rather than being distracted and diffused, we come to a focus of saying, here's what I want to have in my life. Here's what I want to create. Here's what I want to bring forth. And then Spirit can work in us in a different way. There's a story about, there were three seminarians in college, and they did not like the food they were getting at seminary. But they weren't getting enough fresh vegetables. And so there was this little patch next to one of the dirt parking lots that they decided got a lot of sun, and they wanted to grow some vegetables there. So they went to the guy who was running the seminary and said, we'd like permission to make a little garden there. And he says, what? There's just rocks and twigs, and there's nothing will grow there. Go ahead and try. So they got out their stuff, and they started, and there were a bunch of rocks, but once they got the rocks out and this top layer of soil, what they found was this rich soil underneath. They said they grew tomatoes, one of their gifts. The tomato plant got 7 feet tall. They had to keep staking it up because it got so big. And they got what they want. But again, As the whole time they're saying, well, nothing will grow here, is what they kept telling each other. Nothing will grow here, as a joke, knowing that it was going to work. And so it's the same thing in our lives. We may look at it and say, well, nothing's going to work. It's not going to be the way. Someone can make that pronouncement, but if your faith is on something else, then you can create something in a different way. So our next step then is to orchestrate our thoughts. Think about when someone takes a piece of music, and maybe just a very simple song. All of a sudden it's orchestrated in a different way, like the wonderful song the choir sang. Here's I Believe and Ave Maria. And somebody said, wow, what if we put it together like that? And all of a sudden, where they're both beautiful pieces of music, all of a sudden there's this energy because there's these two things happening at once. And all of a sudden you're opened up and expanded into something greater. It's the same thing with our thoughts. We get to look at what we want to combine in our minds for what it is that we want to create in our lives. So we need to be, again, clear at what it is that we want. One of my favorite functions in my word processor is the find and replace function. I don't know if you've ever used that, where if you're writing something about peace and all of a sudden you want to change it to love, you can find peace and say replace with love, and it'll go through the document and replace that word every time it finds it. And so we can use that same type of function in our own lives. If we find ourselves dwelling on some negativity, when we are aware of that, we say, wait a minute, I found that. I'm going to replace it with what it is that we want. And so again, we're the ones that get to do that work in our life and again, bring our whole attention to what it is that we want. So here's our affirmation for today. I am focused in the living presence of God. Let's say that together. I am focused in the living presence of God. And again, I am focused in the living presence of God. So this is our work of orchestrating our thoughts to say, here I am. Again, there may be this diagnosis that comes, there may be, you know, this bill that comes in the mail, whatever it is, what am I going to think about this? What is the energy of God that I want to apply to this circumstance, to this situation that will begin to transform me so the situation can be transformed? So through the lens of the Christ awareness, vision yourself as a channel of spiritual power. This is the way that I invite you to orchestrate your thoughts, that you're a channel for God's spiritual power. Now, those of you that were here last week, I did this diagram about spirit, soul, and body. And the idea is that spirit is this light that shines through what's ever in our consciousness. And because of what's in there, it shows up out in our body and our circumstances of our life. So again, like in a movie projector, the light is always shining. The film changes, which changes what shows up on the screen. So one way that we might apply this idea of orchestrating our thoughts is say, okay, I'm going to hold this thought of love. And I'm going to be loving towards my neighbor or whoever it is that I'm working on. And that will create some kind of energy in our outer world. But I invite you to think about it this way. What if we took this idea of love and said that love is connected to God's love? And then allow that love to shine through our consciousness so that it shines through in a greater way. Because that love of God is going to be bigger than whatever concept of love that we can have. So we keep connecting ourselves back to that largest reality that we can see in our lives. Again, I am focused in the living presence of God. That's the work that we have to do that in a greater way. Another way to look at this, again, what is it we're going to focus on? You know, Charles Fillmore talks about the 12 powers, and so there's spiritual powers similar to the chakras that many of you have been studying with Reverend Gretchen. And again, one of my favorite ones to work with is this one, strength. Charles Fillmore locates it at the lower back here. And I find, because sometimes, you know, we've got all these things to do, these things on our list, and we're running around trying to get those things done. And sometimes we just feel like life is too much. But when I think of spiritual strength, all of a sudden, I can stand up and my shoulders go back and I feel an energy and I'm feeling ready to go and do some more because I'm connected to something that's more than just my human awareness, more than just physical strength. There's a spiritual strength that's there. So there's these gifts, and there's lots of other ways to understand these gifts of spirit. But again, as we're orchestrating our thoughts, what if we're combining, you know, power and strength? What if we're combining order and elimination? You know, I've got things in my life, and I'm going to use divine order to help me release the things that I have room for what it is that I do want in my life. So all these things can be combined and orchestrated in different ways. So again, there's a larger arena for us to work in if that's what we conceive of, that possibility in our lives. And as we keep bringing our minds back to that presence of God, then it can keep expanding in our lives. Several months ago, we talked about using a rubber band as a way of reminding you of something. And again, it can represent anything that you want. It could be represent God's healing power. I use mine to represent infinity and eternity. So whenever I'm, you know, when I'm putting my clothes off and on, or I'm sitting like this and I feel a rubber band, I got to remember I'm a part of God's infinity. I'm a part of God's eternity. And again, I'm trying to expand to see something more. It could be, again, about abundance. It could be whatever you want. But again, to do something that brings your mind back to what it is that you want to be working on. Because again, our mind will go all over the place. So we have to bring it back in our lives. Remember that in American Sign Language, the sign for faith is, what's the idea that you have? What is it that you want to bring into expression so that you can have it here in your life? And again, that's the work that we have to do. Now, one of the ways to sort of construct this is to, again, look at these 12 powers. This is the diagram that somebody came up with of here's God shining through our God self, all these gifts that are there that shines through our person, our consciousness, through our body, and out into life that's going on there. So again, that's the work that we have. So here's another way to organize. This is called three-column prayer, because many times when we pray, many of us were trained to pray to God, oh God, please take this awful thing away from my life. Please change this, rather than focusing again on what it is that we want. And so the idea is here, there's three columns. The first column is some name for God, whatever name for God that you're comfortable with that works for you. The second column is some word or phrase that represents within. So not God out there someplace, but God within. And then the third column is what's the answer that you want? What's the result that you want? What's the resolution that you're looking for in your life? So it might work like this. Divine presence, this is one way to have a name for God. At work in me is my healing power. So you see how that works? So a name for God within me and what it is that you want. So here's another example. The Holy Spirit flowing through life, is my blessing of peace, joy, wisdom, again, whatever it is that you're focusing on in your life. Here's another version. Infinite mind fills me with creativity. Father, mother, within me is my comfort and peace. I always like the name that Jesus used for God, Abba. Abba in my heart is my resting place. Now, and then also, you can use I am to cover the first two columns. So I am focused faith, I am joy, I am divine life, I am infinite energy. Yeah. So that's a way of constructing and orchestrating our thoughts in a way that put our tension, put our faith, put our energy into what it is that we do want, what it is that we want to create in our lives, and calling on God as the source of that to bring it forth into our life. So find what you're dwelling on, choose to orchestrate your thoughts in a way that works for you, and then champion your good. The thing that I see so many times is that as we look at lifting our life, creating our life, expanding our life, is that we're used to living in a smaller way. And the people around us are used to living in a smaller way. They're used to us showing up the way that we have been. So as we start to expand, as we start to grow, as we start to express ourselves in a greater way, we're going to be uncomfortable, and they're going to be uncomfortable because they're not used to it. And so we have to find some ways to champion this work in ourselves. And again, I love Kabir's song. You know, it's like, it says, you know, we don't to be wandering around to the things that we don't want. What is it that we do want? And find ways to do that. And one of the ways that we do that in an inner way is with meditation. Coming back to these ideas again and again, this presence of God in me, this life of God in me, this joy of God in me, coming back to it again and again. I was meditating one time on the name Abba. And again, as I was thinking about it, you know, because it's usually translated as father, but it's probably more translated in terms of familiar sense, papa or daddy. Or Abba is also used for the chief of the clan. It can be used as a title. I believe that Jesus used it as the idea of beloved. He was thinking of God as his beloved. It can also be thought in terms of Lord, and technically our English word Lord and the Hebrew word Adonai, which is translated in English as Lord, means slave master. It's the owner of the manor and everything under him. And again, if you remember in the Ten Commandments where it says, thou shalt not covet, it gives the things in order of their value. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's house, his cattle, his sheep, his wife. That was order of value, but it's just, that's just in that culture at that time. And so we can think of this in a negative way. We can think of Lord in a negative way, or again, because we're metaphysicians, that we have the opportunity to give ourselves wholly to that presence and power of God so that it can work through us, so that it can direct us. And so what came out of that is that this Lord wants us to be its executives, to execute its ideas, its energy. And the word execute and executive comes from the word to follow. So it's like when someone is executed, you're following commands to do that. But this idea of when you execute someone's commands, you do it there. You don't have to figure it out. It's given to you. And see, and I love that. I don't have to figure out what God is. God is what God is. I just need to let it express through me, let it follow. And so that's what came out of this meditation about Abba. All these different ideas that then I can think about, okay, so I don't need to try to make God happen through me. I just need to let God show me what God wants me to do. So another way to champion your good for me is with music. And I know that many of you appreciate music as well, that there's these wonderful songs that we have. We did one a couple weeks ago. God is love, that love surrounds me. In that love I safely dwell. 'Tis above, beneath, within me. Love is mine and all is well. God is love, pure love. God is love, sweet love. That love is mine, mine and all is well. And then it goes, God is peace, that peace, it goes on to all these different words that then, and again, here's a way to champion our good, to keep it amplified, to keep it working in us, to keep thinking about it in our lives. One of the ones we're using in the gathering music now is that holy, 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 I am holy, you are holy, we are holy, all is holy. Opening ourselves up to that. One of my favorite ones that we've used sometimes in the gathering music too is, and I think we used it for meditation a couple months ago too, that, what is it? I am as God created me. I am as God created me. I am a light in this world. And again, it helps reinforce these ideas that we're creating in our life. And so we have to find ways, again, whether it's reading the material that helps us, doing the affirmation, doing post-it notes that are, in our car, on our desk, on the mirror, on the refrigerator, that just help us keep coming back to what it is that we're wanting to do in our lives. Now, the next part, the focus, so again, you see F-O-C-U, folk. U is utilize your support systems. And again, I talked last week about us being interdependent. It was last week or week before. We're interdependent, we're connected. And so we recognize that when there's a group energy, it amplifies things. We've heard of the mob mentality. Well, we want to create a spiritual consciousness mentality. It helps us expand that in our lives. And so to recognize that's part of why we come to church. And I just want to, again, just do a little ad for all the ways that you can connect with this in your life. So we have our prayer ministry. You can call them at 282-8609. 7609. I did that from memory, and my memory changed. 7609. They also have an email that's there. We have prayer chaplains after each service. What a gift. There's people who have dedicated themselves not only to prayer, but to praying for us. And they show up here to bring us that support. So what a gift that we have that's there. We have our daily word line. We have people from all over the country who call our daily word line and call our prayer ministry. There's a weekly news of what's going on at our church that Jackie Hardesty sends out. That's her email. So if you want to send an email to her, then she'll put you on the list and comes out. We have our daily email prayer. It's interesting. This started out years ago when Kathy Davis was on our board. She was treasurer. And we would have a weekly prayer time on Thursdays. And there were some times when I'd be out of town, you know, at a conference or something, or she'd be out of town. And so she would email me a prayer if we weren't able to talk on the phone. Well, then she started emailing to the board, and they liked it. And then somebody said, well, I'll do Monday. I'll do a prayer on Monday. So I said, I'll do a prayer on Friday. So pretty soon we had all 7 days of the week covered with different people. So now we send these to Jerry, and Jerry sends them out each day. So again, if you want to be that, email prayer-request@unitysandiego.org and just put subscribe in the subject, and you'll be automatically added to the list. We also have our website, all kinds of stuff on the website. There's prayers, there's affirmations, there's books that you can download, there's the Sunday lessons from the last 2 years are on there, there's some of Reverend Stephen's lessons. Jerry took some of the old tapes and put them onto electronic files. And again, as I mentioned music earlier, if you like music, get here early and listen to the gathering music. And again, build into the consciousness these words over and over and again. So again, we're here. There's all kinds of other things. There's books in the bookstore. And again, there's all kinds of other organizations and programs and everything. But utilize the support systems that are there for you. And then finally, stay conscious. Stay conscious and to recognize that we're going to be challenged by the things that show up in life. There's stuff that shows up, it's not the way that we want it to be. And we can either give in to it or give ourselves to that higher presence and power and say, show me what you got, show me what we can bring, show me what we can do in this circumstance to change things in a different way. The power of focused faith is available to us. We're using it all the time. So what is it that we're focusing on? Be conscious. Find what it is that you're focusing on so that you can orchestrate your thoughts in a way that make a difference for you and keep championing them in your own life. And as you utilize the support around you, you will be able to stay conscious of this presence and power that we call God so that it can make a profound and powerful difference in your life. The power of focused faith. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for the awareness that we have of your presence here and now. That is our blessing, that's working through us, that's enlivening us, that is bringing us joy, that is guiding us, that is filling us to overflowing with your incredible good. We keep our minds coming back with joy, with expectation, with gratitude. Your presence and power here and now. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen.